The challenge for the morning is this. We're standing on top of the Mount of Olives. And we're looking down the hillside toward Jerusalem. It's about a 2.5 mile hike. It isn't a short trip. That's what Palm Sunday is about. And it's about being excited that Jesus is here. Amen. Thank you. It's about being excited that Jesus is here. Now, before I forget, okay, I have sad news. Carl passed away this week. Okay. I saw him last Sunday. He was extraordinarily tired, had trouble staying awake, but we had a good conversation. The most reassuring thing I can pass on to you is saying he was ready. Okay? He was ready. The surprise was how fast the end came. I expected I would be able to see him again today. But that didn't happen. Okay? And there's a sign-up sheet. If you're able to help with food for the funeral dinner, the funeral dinner will be, we've decided that it's appropriate. The funeral is on April Fool's Day. If you knew Carl well, it's appropriate. Now I will sit down and shut up. I don't know about that. If you supply it, Kim.
Well, good morning, everybody. Hope everyone's doing well today. And even though the sun is shining, we don't want to hear the sunrise ringtone. So if you can, just turn your phones off or silence them. That would be wonderful. And if you can, please stand me in the call to worship. Jesus, today we think of you riding a donkey into Jerusalem. We ask that now and forever you will triumph in our hearts. Help us see you as Prince of Peace. We give ourselves and all we are in full and joyful worship before you.
Please remain standing for our first hymn found on page 61, Come Thou Almighty King.
Thank you.
Before you sit down, please turn to one another this morning and greet each other with a smile, handshake, or a hug.
Greetings, smile.
As I shared with you just a little while ago, Carl has celebrated his birthday in heaven. The difficulty is us adjusting to him not being physically present with us. I'll probably say this as part of the funeral service, but my memories of him was when I came in. Actually, the first time I came in, you all didn't know Susie and I were coming, okay? We were double greeted at the door. We were double greeted at this door, okay, by Carl and Phyllis, okay? And I remember him taking the offering as part of the offering crew. Can't erase those pictures. Okay? Amongst the things I'll say to you is this. If Carl ever took a picture of you or of a family event, get it out and look at it. Carl has been the historian of this community.
He took my senior picture in 1961.
Okay, did you hear that? Wow. Carl took a graduation picture in 1961.
And 1996.
And 1996.
And 89 and 93. And
okay, 60. See what I mean about Carl being the community historian? Yeah. Not only for this church community, but for Clinton.
Yeah. Yeah, he was.
Okay, but for Clinton. Let's remember the family, okay? And let us remember each other. Some of us are going through more complications than we expected, and even in unexpected places. I don't know about you, but I don't like those kinds of surprises. And when those kinds of situations happen, I find a great deal of comfort and strength by inviting Jesus into it. I hope Jesus doesn't get impatient with me, because mostly when I talk to him, it's because my life is a mess. And during Mike's coffee this morning, we talked a little bit about, so often what happens with us is we think God isn't working in our lives or around us. Okay? But we don't allow ourselves to see him working. And even when we do, we forget to say thank you. The way our prayer this morning will begin is, thank you, O Lord. Thank you for all the gifts of grace that you give us. Thank you, O Lord, for the gift of each breath. Thank you, O Lord, for the gift of each face that we see during our day. Thank you, O Lord, that you never leave us alone. We thank you, Lord Jesus, on this day we observe today. So long ago, you came into Jerusalem. The people were happy to see you. They rejoiced. They had fun. They partied. And altogether, so often, Lord, we get so caught up in our own lives that we forget to see that you've arrived. We forget that you're here with us. We forget all the meanings of your presence in our here, in our now. We are not alone. We are not powerless. You are with us, and you can and will work all things together for good. Whether it be our health, whether it be in our families, whether it be in our work, whether it be any part of our lives, Lord, you are with us. And if we will cooperate, you will use every moment, and you will use us every moment for the glory of the kingdom of God. It is for that kingdom we pray every time we lift our voices together in the words you taught us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Could we take a moment to listen to God in silence? For God will speak in turn during prayer.
Please join me in an exhortation for Holy Week, which is from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Such a large crowd of witnesses is all around us, so we must get rid of everything that slows us down, especially the sin that just won't let go, and we must be determined to run the race that is ahead of us. We must keep our eyes on Jesus, who leads us and makes our faith complete. He endured the shame of being nailed to a cross because he knew that later on he would be glad he did. Now he is seated at the right side of God's throne. So we will keep our minds on Jesus, who put up with many insults from sinners. Then we won't get discouraged and give up. Amen. And please stand as we sing the Gloria.
As it was in the please sing, please come up and join the choir. You don't have to use the stairs, okay? The choir that's up here is going to use the stairs, but there's space in front, okay?
The less people on the stairs, the better.
I know, he's going to stay up there.
Put you and Jan together.
I know the logistics.
Because I can't go up.
I see that. If you're short, stand on the step.
Okay, everybody. Get up close and personal. Not too personal. He ain't where he's going.
Come on up, Olivia. Come on, Olivia.
Okay, you have to move so Martha can see you. I know it's hard to make you walk, but that's part of the burden of leadership.
Sorry about the total eclipse of this part of the choir.
Am I in your way?
Oh, rejoice, O blessed Jerusalem. Of all thy sons singing emancipation, through boundless love, the Christ of Bethlehem brings faith and hope to thee forevermore.
Say to the congregation what you said to me about doing this song. What was the first song that was done? It ended up being just outside the front door of the church.
On Palm Sunday of 2003, which would have been date-wise next Sunday, the choir ended up singing this, standing out on the sidewalk, because of the fact that the building inspector didn't agree with us that Sunday. So that was our Palm Sunday, that Sunday, and we stood out there and sang. And I have just wanted to do this ever since. So thank you all. Praise to God.
Thank you. Glad for being able to do it.
And God bless all of you with time. Thank you.
Okay. Now, do you want to sit up here or you want to leave?
I'm here.
You can stay if you want.
Do you like it?
You want to see me dance? Good morning. How are you? Are you on spring break?
Yes.
Yeah? Are you ready to go back to school already?
Yes.
No? No? What, you really like spring break? You remember back in the summer you were getting so bored and you wanted to go back to school? No. Don't remember that.
Well, I am going to start soccer in April.
Are you?
Yeah, I
think. Okay. Cool. So, the big question is, are the big people making you crazy?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Isn't it strange how that happens when you're at home and you're not going to school? Yeah. The big people seem to make you crazier.
Yeah,
huh? Yeah. What, you had to clean it up?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay. Now, thank you all for helping us with our celebration of Palm Sunday. Do you know what Palm Sunday is about?
Yeah. Jesus going to Jerusalem.
Who is? Jesus. Jesus is arriving in Jerusalem, okay? At the beginning of the week that changes everything. And we want to focus on the good stuff today. Okay? People saw Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and they decided to make him welcome. Now, have you heard about how people roll out the red carpet for important people? Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Well, the folk that were with Jesus that day didn't have a red carpet. They didn't have anything much at all except the clothes on their backs. And around the road were all kinds of palms. Okay? And so what they did was they used what they had to make Jesus welcome. So when you hear the big people talking about the palms, okay, that was the red carpet that the people rolled out to say welcome to Jesus. Okay? And it's for us to welcome Jesus in our own way today. Jesus will always be with us. The important thing is that we pay attention and welcome him. No matter how good or how bad things go, we're not alone. Sometimes we feel desperately alone, but we're not. One of the gifts that we give to each other because we follow Jesus is we remind each other that we are not alone. Sometimes that is what people need the most, is the reminder that they're not alone. Sometimes just being there actually gets a smile out of them. What do you do when your best friend shows up? Hmm?
You welcome.
Don't you smile?
I say hello, best seed.
Yeah. And maybe crack a smile? What would it mean for us to do that with Jesus? Okay. Because Jesus will stay with us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming, and thank you for all that you've done. We can't really put it all into words. It touches all of our lives so deeply. Sometimes, oh Lord, we just don't understand it. But, oh Lord, help us to know how much you love us. And help us, oh Lord, to show love to those that we meet. You remind us that we're not alone. Help us to remind them they're not alone. Hear our prayer. Amen. I think that there are some goodies. And then there are more goodies. And more goodies. And more goodies. And if I'm not mistaken, there will be an Easter egg hunt.
Yippee!
Thank you, David. Thank you. Our Lord Jesus, we're glad you're here. We welcome you. We bring our gifts. We bring ourselves. Take our gifts, take us. Use all for the glory of the kingdom. Hear our prayer. Amen. Our hymn of preparation this morning is 278. Thank you, beautifully sung. You may be seated. The focus for this morning is going to be on Mark chapter 11. Verse 1. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. That verse, simple as it is, describes the beginning of the week that changed everything. We wouldn't be here this morning if that morning hadn't happened. It's hard to realize that. My guess is that many people will be on the top of Mount of Olives today. This morning, my wish is that we could all be there. Words aren't enough to describe what it's like. Yes, there's a modern hotel up there now. You can get camel rides. Okay. You can get all kinds of souvenirs of Jerusalem and the surrounding area. But at the top of the hill, it's now a road that winds its way down through the valley, through all kinds of graves, up to the gate into Jerusalem. I wish we could all be there. Words aren't enough to describe what it's like. Then we could each know a bit of what it was like on that day. The day Jesus rode into Jerusalem on an unbroken colt. Any of you ever tried to ride a horse or a donkey that hasn't had a person on him before? I see the smile. Not on it long is right. Okay. One of the things that we forget is that donkey cooperated. The Gospels lack detail about the life of Jesus. Think about it. All there is are snippets. It's like looking at a family album. You ever do that? You sit and try to flip through the family album, and especially if some of the pictures are old. Who's that? Who do we know who knows who that is? Okay? Who is that sitting next to that 1928 Chevy? But the Gospels are snippets. We don't know much about Jesus' everyday life. There's one exception. That's the last week of Jesus' life. That week is described in raw detail. Some 40% of Mark's gospel covers those final days. And I want to encourage you to please take the time to read chapters 11 through 16 of Mark this week. They describe the week that literally changed everything. I can't say that enough. It all started when Jesus and the disciples were getting close to Jerusalem. There are no mountains nearby that are the height of Mount of Olives. It's just over 2,700 feet high. None of the heights around it shares its topography. It has a bald peak, except for the hotel that's on it now. Next to nothing grows up there. The Mount of Olives played an important role in Israel's past. Biblical prophecy says it will play a key role in the future, not only of Israel, but also the world. Old Testament prophecy says the Messiah will appear on the Mount when he comes. The New Testament prophecy and tradition say that when he returns, Jesus will reappear on the Mount of Olives. In Jesus' day, pilgrims often massed on the top of the Mount of Olives. Then they would make their way to the temple. I can't describe it, okay? Because the gate through the city wall, okay, that's closest to the path, now road, is the gate that's closest to the temple. Now it's closest to the Wailing Wall. The sun rises from behind Olivet. It shines on the city's golden gate. That's why it's called gold. It was the gate and still is the gate nearest the temple. People would go down the slope. Even then, there were graveyards. They would cross Kidron Valley. They would walk up to Mount Zion to the temple. It's a long, hard walk, even in modern times, even though it's paved. Now you have to watch out for cars. Mark is clear about all that happened to Jesus. Mark is clear about all Jesus did. Everything led up to the day that Jesus came to Jerusalem. There aren't many details of Jesus' hours-long trip from the Mount of Olives to the temple. The details that are given are important. It all started when they were getting close to Jerusalem. They went into a nearby village to get... First, Jesus sent a couple of his disciples on a mission. I've been thinking about this one, Bill. I want you to go steal a donkey for me. Jesus sent two of his disciples to go get a donkey. Okay, it'll be tied up. That's how you'll know. Okay, and not only will it be tied up, but it will be young, and nobody else will have ever ridden on it. There are two main things about this donkey. It had never been ridden before, and the donkey was a sign revealing Jesus' identity. The prophet said that the way the Messiah would come was key to recognizing him. See Zechariah 9:9. It said, Jesus is the king that brings salvation. People heard that is the Messiah will be the one that cleans up the mess. Second, a crowd gave Jesus quite a welcome, and Jesus accepted that welcome. He took the first of his final steps to the cross. The powers that be pegged Jesus as a troublemaker. Both Jewish and Roman leaders knew they would have to do something about him. They were getting closer too. The people greeted Jesus as grandly as poor people could. They threw down their coats. They covered the path with palms. It was as I said to the children, it was as close to rolling out the red carpet as they could come. They sang songs of blessing and praise for him. They greeted him as a king. They were joyous and full of fun. They had high hopes that Jesus was about to do something great. They wanted to do some of the kingdom of God stuff. People were sure that Jesus had arrived to do what they thought he would do. They thought he would do what they wanted him to do. Maybe perform some miracles. Maybe rally the nation to revolt against its invaders. Maybe it was just cause a ton of trouble. Mark says that the trip from the top of the Mount of Olives to the temple was all that Jesus did that day. Mark says that Jesus looked around Jerusalem a bit. He checked out the temple. He did a kind of self-guided tour. And then he left the city. It wasn't safe for him to be inside its walls. Despite the crowd outside, Jesus wasn't welcome inside. You ever been locked in someplace? I once visited, well, more than once, a couple times I visited people in jail. I did all right until I heard the lock click behind me. Jesus left Jerusalem before the gates closed for the night. Because when the gates were closed, Jerusalem was at the mercy of the powers that be. They could pretty much do anything they wanted. Jesus went out to Bethany. He stayed on the Mount of Olives. He may have stayed with Simon the leper. When they were getting close to Jerusalem, Jesus was getting ever closer to the cross. Jesus made the trip from the Mount of Olives to Jerusalem each day until he was arrested. Every trip was different. Only the first one drew a crowd. The second trip, Jesus cursed the fig tree. He chased the people holding market out of the temple court. He stopped people from doing labor on the temple grounds. He sat and taught the people about God's house being a house of prayer. That was when the authorities began to plot against him. Once again, Jesus left and went to Bethany before the city gates were closed for the night. The third trip, Jesus and company passed the fig tree. It had dried up from its roots overnight. Jesus gave a lesson about faith. He went back to the temple. Teachers ambushed him with questions. Jesus taught the people with parables. He taught the two greatest commandments. He pointed out the example of the widow's mite. Jesus prophesied about the fall of Jerusalem and the end of time. It may have been that night when Jesus went out to Bethany to Simon the leper's house that the woman washed his feet. In Mark's account, that was a tipping point. Everyone in the room, everyone in the house was mad at Jesus for letting her do that. Judas was so angry he betrayed Jesus to his enemies. It's the day with the most details that's given. Tradition says that it was on Thursday that Jesus made the trip from the Mount of Olives into Jerusalem the last time. As on the first trip, he sent a couple of disciples on a mission. This time it was to find a place where they would celebrate Passover. Mark says nothing else about what Jesus did that day. It simply says, an evening having come, he cometh with the 12. They are getting close to the end, which is also the beginning. This is Holy Week. Bless you. This is Holy Week. Okay, we've got some things that we're going to do to observe Holy Week. Y'all come. Okay. And bring everybody with you to everything. Because this is the week that changed the world. Amen. Thank you. Our closing hymn for this morning is 452. As you are able, would you stand?
Please join me in our benediction. Blessed Jesus, when the thought of you stirs in our hearts, let it not awaken like a frightened bird that flies about in dismay. Rather, let it be like a child's waking from its sleep with a heavenly smile. Amen. few announcements before we have coffee hour this morning. First and foremost, there is an updated directory sheet, so please make sure to grab one of these. There are a few phone numbers, emails, maybe even addresses that have changed that are corrections to the 2023 directory. New directories are going to be printed in July, so make sure you grab one as we still have a few more months before those go out. Also, I personally use the new Vanco mobile app for offering. I see a lot of people don't. That's okay, but it's very, very convenient. There's many times I forget my checkbook, and I'll sit in the pew, and I'll just send in my offering right away. It's really convenient, super easy to set up. If you have any questions, I don't see Lisa here. I know she was the one getting the ball rolling on it. I mean, I can even help you if need be. It's really easy. David's shaking his head, yes. And don't worry, we won't think that you're not giving offering each Sunday, you know, if you use the app. That was my biggest fear, thinking that, you know, it doesn't look like I'm giving anything. But no, very simple, very easy to use. Any other announcements at all? Todd. I'll repeat it as well.
Here, Todd.
The microphone's coming, Todd. Rick's taking care of us.
Thank you, Rick. As we know, Easter Sunday, next Sunday, the men's fellowship is going to put on a breakfast. Please come. You are more than welcome. We do have a sign up just to get a rough estimate on numbers. If you would like to help cook, men's fellowship, help cook. Just a reminder, could always use it. I'm going to be here about 7:30 to start cooking, so you can get here anytime after that. We do plan on eating after Mike's sermon. We're saying 9-ish, just to give you a little. And again, a reminder, if you don't sign up, you are welcome. If you wake up in the morning and say, oh my gosh, I forgot to sign up, that's fine. Come, enjoy breakfast with us and a little fellowship.
So the sunrise service is at 8 a.m., correct?
Right.
Yes, 8 a.m. for the first service. Breakfast is at 9-ish, and then followed by, we will still have the traditional service at 11 a.m.
Yes. Mike has two announcements. Today and for at least five more Sundays, not next Sunday, but for five more Sundays, I'll be leading a conversation on Dietrich Bonhoeffer's Life Together. It's his work about what it looks like, what it means to be the church. Was there seven of us this morning? About that. We pretty much decided it was going to make us crazy, but it would be worth it. So y'all are welcome. The coffee will be good. Okay, I'm also looking for at least four people who are interested in the study of how the Bible came to be in its current forms. The study will be on a Saturday. We'll gather at 9 a.m. here at the church with some food and some coffee. The study will go until 3 p.m. or until folks want to end the conversations. There will be a break for lunch. I already have two of the four that I need, so I'm looking for at least two more. And 15 or 20 would be fine. So do let me know. Be in touch.
And then lastly, Carl's funeral service is on Monday. And sorry, I'm just going off of memory here. So correct me if I'm wrong. I believe there's viewing here at the church at 11 a.m. At 1 o'clock is the service. And then it would be followed by, there was something at 2. The cemetery at 2.
And that's
and
April
then a luncheon,
1st.
Correct, that's April on Monday, 1st. April 1st.
Yeah,
and
not tomorrow, a week from tomorrow.
Correct, yes, I'm sorry, not this coming Monday, following Monday.
Yes.
Sheila. Could we just maybe have a show of hands who's coming to the 8 a.m. service? Just so we have, because the bulletins are going to be different for both services, so we have a rough idea how many to put.
Good for you, Mike.
Thank you.
And then the rest are coming at 11, I assume?
Nope.
And it's our it's all right to come and bring everybody with you. We've been known to share bulletins before.
Have a good weekend, everyone.
Thank you, thank you.